Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Mark Rawson, and I'd like to welcome you to another night of Spiritual Connections Radio in the middle of this summer. As you know, our friend Pam Latour, who normally co-hosts the show with me, is traveling at this time and enjoying some beautiful downtime. So we'll be excited to have her back, I'm guessing next month. And we'll be looking forward to that. She's very much missed on the show. If you're just tuning in for the first time, you want to find out more about this show and other shows that we have on Spiritual Connections Radio, you can find out more about the shows and everything by going to www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. This evening we have, as always, a great guest lineup, and this month is no exception. We have Bonnie Schneider with us this evening on the show, and I was kind of joking with her a little bit because, as you know, for the people out there who listen to the St. Germain Radio Show or listen to the men's show, you know that my co-host on those shows is Mike Schneider. So we have a common name there, and I think I was also telling her that on my recent trip out to New Mexico and Arizona last week that we went through a Schneider, town of Schneider. So very interesting how synchronicities work sometimes. Bonnie Schneider is a certified life balance coach, a graduate of what I call the Authentic Happiness Coach Program, and also does a lot of energy work. She also has studied in many energy modalities through the years of work, teaching, counseling, coaching. I'm just kind of going through the briefing. There's so much great information, and I think what I'm going to do is just bring Bonnie on. Bonnie, how are you this evening? Bonnie?
Ah, I had you on mute, Mark. Thanks so much for the introduction, and thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, no problem. It's usually for people listening to the show, they know I'm normally the one who is who's the one that doesn't who has things muted. So it's nice to have someone else doing that. It's great to have you on, and before we get started, let me go ahead and give everybody your website so they can find out more about you and your services and all kinds of great stuff like that. And we'll be talking more about the different things you're offering and promoting and stuff during the show. But if you want to find out more about Bonnie, she is out of the Florida area, but I'm guessing that she does a lot of her work remotely also. I guess that's correct, right, Bonnie?
I do almost all my work remotely.
Oh, okay. So to find out more about Bonnie and the work that she does, you can go to her website called diamondpathways.com. That's DIAMONDPATHWAYS.com. So if you missed that website or anything, if you go up to Spiritual Connections Radio, we have it listed there, so you can just click on it and find out more about her work and everything. So welcome to the show, and thank you for being on. And with that, let's go ahead and jump right in. I know from the name of the website, we're going to talk about Diamond Pathways and, you know, the energy and stuff around that. So what is Diamond Pathways?
Oh, Mark, thanks so much for asking, and thank you for sending people to the site. Diamond Pathways really has been an accumulation of years of energy work and some gifts that came to me a couple of years ago, but the site is really about coming home to ourselves and being who we truly and authentically are so that our lives are much more easy and graceful. And I know, I don't know about you or about some of our listeners, but I call myself an ex-stressor. So I started my work in a counseling practice, and I noticed that when people decrease their stress response, I could do my therapy more quickly. And to be very honest and transparent, being an ex-stressor myself, I can see why my life path has led me to learning about the stress response and learning energy modalities, which I didn't know to begin with. So I bring a lot of that to Diamond Pathways, and now I work much more in the energetic, a combination of both coaching and energy work. It's easy for me to find energetic patterns when people have blocks.
Oh, excellent, excellent. So I'm just kind of thinking ahead here.
Let me just say a little bit more here.
Okay, thank you.
I know that a lot of times there's been a phrase, you know, be your authentic self. And I think that in the world we live in, it's very hard sometimes. There's so many expectations. And we've been trained, one, by our environment, by the media, by the families we've been brought up in, to be a certain way. And we've put our trust outside of us. And I think that, I know that causes a lot of stress. When we are trying to meet expectations of others looking outside rather than inside ourselves, it makes life much more difficult. Because there's no way, as we're trying to meet all these outside expectations, and life has gotten even more complicated, I want to say. I don't even want to say stressful, although it is for many people, because of our technology and because of everything being instantaneous. So if we are not coming back to ourselves and seeing what's working for me, where's my heart here, there's a lot of anxiety within us. And then we start to doubt ourselves. And I think that there are a lot of patterns that we bring forth through our genetics, if we believe in past lives, through past lives, that contribute also. So we're in a sense, if we're not becoming more conscious about what's triggering us, there's a lot of depression. There's health issues. We might find that our relationships aren't working well. And for me, my belief really is our soul is calling us and bringing these situations so that we can become more conscious and come home to ourselves, being very happy, comfortable in our own skin, realizing as we let go of these patterns and transform them, and that's really the fun mark that I have, we become the radiant person that we are. And for me, we are energetic. We are light.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for expanding on that. I always like to kind of go back to the beginning for people. And it's funny because most of the time I do this on the men's show. But, you know, tell me how you got started. I know if we look at something like my story, before I got into spirituality, you know, I had this history of being, you know, raised in the Baptist church and then spending, you know, I spent 25 years as a leader in the ELCA Lutheran Church, you know, and then I got into spirituality, and of course that expanded in all the different modalities that I learned. So tell me what your path has looked like.
I'd love to. It's interesting to hear you talk. Honestly, growing up, my family was religious in the sense that we went to church, but they were very spiritual. And I didn't even realize until probably 8 or 9 years ago how creating sacred space for me was always important, because I played dolls, I played teacher, but I actually played church with my brothers. But I know at that time, as we forget, I think young children remember, I loved that sacredness, that connection to God. But I think over the years, a little of that got lost, although I was always connected to angels. But I knew that it was easy for me to listen to people. So I went back to school and got a degree in counseling. And actually, my degree is in school psychology, but I never worked in a school. I worked for psychiatrists and in my own private practice. But it's interesting how I didn't realize what my gifts were, because in the counseling practice, people would, you know, they share their problems, Mark, and then, you know, you might say something, or for me, I always wanted to send them home with something to follow up with, because just talking is great and it resolves a lot of things, but then we have to go home and do something differently. So So people would come back and they would say to me, Bonnie, you said this, and I may or may not have remembered it, and it changed my entire life. Well, it wasn't until I learned energy work, and it's really 101 in psychology, create a rapport or a connection. But what I realized was I always saw the best in my clients. And I had clients who had very severe psychiatric disorders, to people who were leading regular lives who had challenges come up. I worked with a lot of families with attention deficit, divorce, mild depression. And so I didn't really realize at that point that that was part of my gift. But once I started to learn some energy work, I still didn't get it, Mark. It was really funny. I learned thought field therapy, which is a cousin to emotional freedom, which many of the listeners probably know about.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I started tapping with people, and they were doing really well. And I would go back with my colleagues and say, well, I'm doing this, but I'm skipping those steps. And I think this is why I really can understand my clients, because I thought I was doing something wrong. Because I was skipping steps and seeing things that other people weren't seeing. And eventually, after studying a lot of energy work, I started to realize that being able to see the energy and find the energetic patterns and make the connections was part of my gift. So I don't know if you can relate to that or have a surprising event show up.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that actually brings up a good question, and that is, you say that you're able to see the patterns and kind of match it up. What would be like a real life example with an individual where you could kind of tell us what that looks like?
I'm trying to think of one of the more fun. One of my clients that I'm working with right now is a young woman who's doing really well in her moving forward in her business. And one of the things that she thought, and I think that many times, and maybe for some of your listeners, there are people who are more sensitive and they really don't understand what being sensitive is about. I think years ago people were called highly emotional. And so she started to ask me about some situations that were occurring, and almost immediately could I see for her what she was tapping into. But because she had so much doubt and had felt like she didn't fit in, it was really clouding her vision. So it was easy for me to find those patterns. And I do it in a really, it's people many times call it a meditative way. And I'll use whatever tools. I still even will throw in some tapping with it, but able to shift that energy by having them go into their heart space. And then from there, it's whatever I see in the moment. For this young woman, I saw the intuitive piece. And when she was first sharing, Mark, it was really interesting because she had been doing some counseling also. So it might have been easy to have written her off as just strictly being emotional versus seeing how she was making connections but not trusting herself with them. And once we cleared away the I'm different, there's a reason I don't fit in, once she realized that it was really her own story and allowed the gifts to come forth, she has just blossomed.
Very cool. Thank you. I'm sorry if this feels like a little bit of a duplicate question, but, you know, how did you get into the world of energy healing?
I started with nutritional muscle testing, and I really couldn't do it very well. But because my background is psychology, I really like I don't want to say emotional. It's more what goes on in the mental. What are the stories we're telling ourselves, and what is the quickest way to move through it? And very honestly, I have been called the 10-minute queen because I like to do it quickly. So I kept looking for something I could bring into my practice that would be accepted in a counseling arena. And I have to understand, Mark, this was 15 years ago. So at that point in time, in Orlando, Florida, tapping or energy work was not something that was acceptable in a counseling format. And so I kept looking for things, and I was sitting on a friend's porch one day, and I saw an advertisement for thought field therapy. And it was brought in by Roger Callahan, and some people may remember that a long time ago. And it said, within, I don't remember, it might have been 5 or 10 minutes, we can clear a block or a trauma or an anxiety. And that caught my attention. And so I went to a training. Actually, I went to about 5 trainings in thought field therapy. Then I studied Donna Eden, then quantum touch, and then the list goes on, matrix energetics. I was just fascinated with the idea that our thoughts and emotions are energetic. And so it was really fun to use a lot of these modalities to help people shift from being depressed. I actually had someone who was suicidal in my office years ago, and his girlfriend brought him in, and I said to him, would you be willing to do this? It's sort of silly, you tap, and you know, you may not notice anything or not, and he was actively suicidal. So we went through the tapping pattern with him, and at the end he said to me, I don't feel suicidal right now. Now, I will tell you, I still sent him to the psychiatrist. I still followed up with him, you know, doing everything a traditional therapist would do, because that's just, it's just good protocol. But this young man emailed me back 6 weeks, 3 months, and a year afterwards, telling me he never went to those depths again. And that was in the early years.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing.
But it also brings up a good lesson for a lot of spiritual people out there that are doing work, and that is, you know, to know where to draw the line and know when you should refer someone out.
Well, I think that that's really important, and because my background is counseling and I'm no longer acting under my license, I have a coaching certificate, it is important because there is, you can talk about some of the same stories and patterns in a coaching venue or a spiritual venue, but for me, if there isn't progress and there is a place where there needs to be much more discussion about this person and that person's life. I mean, I've had, I would say maybe a third of my clients also being counseling at the same time. And that's perfectly okay. That's perfectly okay.
Mm. So, you know, I was kind of like reading through your bio, and you said, you know, that you intuitively and quickly pinpoint the pattern, creating the energy jam, and then there is an obstacle in shifting the energy related to the pattern. So can you give an example of what that looks like, you know, as far as working with somebody?
Well, yes, and let's talk a little bit, if it's all right. I'd like to talk a little bit about the diamond frequency, because the way I go into it now is a little bit different than I used to. Will that work?
Yeah, that's great, because, you know, of course, the next question is, what's the diamond frequency and the fifth dimensional heart, and how did that evolve? So perfect timing.
Well, as we were talking about coming home to ourselves, because I had studied so many energy modalities, there was a part of me that said, gee, you know so much about this. I'd sort of like to have something that, and I put quotes around it, that's my own. So a friend and I exchanged energetic Christmas gifts one year, and she is amazing. Her name is Max Wellspring, and she does Akashic Record openings. And so she and I decided that she would do an Akashic Record opening for me first. And I want to give our listeners, because she really is fantastic, it's trustyourlife.com. Trustyourlife.com. That's Max. So she was had a business situation, and I was doing what I usually do, knowing she stated the problem, and I went in and was guided because I really center in my heart and ask for the guidance of where to go. And at one point, I didn't say anything to her, Mark, but I saw a diamond shape around her.
Okay.
And then I saw, it was a little above the heart at the thymus, which is many believe is one of the new chakras or the high heart. And I didn't say anything about what I saw, but she started to describe exactly what I saw and the sense of shifting both in the front and the back of her heart. And I had taken her through a process that I had used little bits and pieces when I had studied hypnosis. So we get finished with the process, and she said, I've never experienced anything quite like that. So she had told me in the Akashic Record opening that I would get an energetic process if I wanted it that was my own. So you know how our minds are. So I thought, oh, I'll have a dream about it, or I'll meditate and find out. So what I did after the session with her was I sat and I meditated over what I had seen, the diamond, and what it meant. And I ended up writing a lot about the diamond frequency. And so there is a diamond grid. There are crystals in the earth that hold the frequency, which many believe is the highest frequency on the planet, of the Christ at heart or unconditional love. And I had written a lot of this in my journal before. It was 2 weeks before I really found anything about the diamond frequency or the diamond grid. When we tap into this diamond frequency, it's almost like tapping into a super highway, because when we tap into this consciousness, we are tapping into the divine at its highest that we can connect to. And it's not the only way, it's one way. Although if you do a lot of reading right now on the spiritual journey, you see a lot of mention of the diamond frequency, the Christ at heart. Since the solstice, there's been a lot of talk about the higher frequencies coming through, the light, the sun, sometimes the solar flares, helping our bodies shift. We're shifting from carbon to crystalline, and this diamond frequency is all a part of that. For me, and for probably many spiritual people, it has been about the heart, but we've looked at the heart in let's just follow our hearts rather than the heart partnering with the mind. And this whole shift connecting to this frequency is about balance. It is about the heart being the driver and the mind following in partnership. So as we tap into this frequency, we're not only tapping into the divine at the highest frequency of unconditional love, but we're also tapping into the earth star, or the connection that we have to the earth, being connected to all that is. So that's where I started. And as it evolved, what I finally understood was that we actually are in an energetic structure called the diamond light body. And it has been laying dormant, waiting for us, waiting for the consciousness to raise enough, the frequency that we're on, to be able to shift what we were talking about earlier, to shift the patterns with much more grace and ease, to live in a way that is more optimal, because we're being able to connect through this higher heart, this heart that's connected to our mind, this heart that is connected to our soul, and soul's purpose, not our occupation, but our soul's purpose, the light, the reason that we're here. And when we were talking earlier about coming home to ourselves, you know, we each are a radiant diamond light, and we've come here for a purpose. As I know, you've interviewed other people talking about this, and I know you know yourself, Mark.
Wow. You know, such a powerful thing to talk about the frequency and the heart. You know, for someone like myself who has actually worked in a lot of areas and has come across new things, and you know, the question I would have for you is, how were you able to take this powerful intuitive diamond frequency and dimensional heart and be able to turn it into practical things you could use? Like you say, you know, you created many tools for women and men. How did you get to that, to actually get it to create a tool where you could create things?
Well, I think it's the whole journey that I love walking with other individuals is that I kept asking. I kept asking, how do I do this? And remember, too, I've been bringing through learning, evolving myself. To me, that's the only way to go, is to continue to evolve ourselves, and then it comes to us. What were the problems people were bringing to me? What were the challenges? What were the blocks? And I would ask, how do I use this frequency? But it's very easy. It's easy for me because as I ask, the answer would come through. And part of what I think I'm probably noted for is finding the pattern and being able, one, in a live session to do it right there for you, but also to tap into that frequency and create audios. So a lot of my audios are all the things that we have been all struggling with, overwhelm, not trusting ourselves, taking a risk, and being able to, so when I create those, I actually take time to put myself in the most meditative state. And then I ask for what are people asking for, and how do I tap into that with the diamond frequency, and then the audio or the meditation comes out. Or I like to call them energy shifters, because I believe we're not that we're transforming the energy. We're not really releasing anymore, and we could debate that. But that's just what I feel, that it's a transformation, that this frequency helps us to transform in a way that we haven't been able to do before. And I think there are many people on the planet now that are able to tap into these higher frequencies. And sometimes we don't even know that we're doing it.
Well, I was just kind of looking at your website, and it talks about the 15-minute diamond laser section. When you're talking about working with somebody in 12 minutes, you weren't joking around.
And you know, that was from some of my colleagues who have experienced me turn some things around in less than 15 minutes. They actually said, we want you to do it in 10. And I'm like, no, I think I need 15. But here's what happens. In the diamond laser session, it's for an immediate challenge. It can be, and many times it's a pattern that people have been working on, but it's presenting itself in a situation. So before they have the session, I ask them several questions. So that way, one, they have their focus when they come to the session, but also as soon as they fill out the form and pay their $35 for the session, mm-hmm. the energy is already starting to move. So by the time they come on the call with me, I have them talk a little bit about it, and then I just go ahead and work on whatever it is. Now remember, it's very laser focused. And in those 15-minute sessions, I block out more time, so if you want to go longer, you can. But many people stick to the 15, and I'd say maybe a third of them decide they're going to stay longer because they want to do more in that session. And that's a really cost-efficient way to experience what I do and to see if it's a match for you or not. And so a lot of my clients come through that way. And speaking of that, the other thing actually, Mark, that I decided to do was a diamond discovery session, because I have quite a few free things on my site. I have inexpensive audios, diamond laser sessions, all the way up to full coaching. And a diamond discovery session is just an easy way to figure out, you know, what might work for you, for your time commitment, and for your budget. And again, I send a little pre-questionnaire out so that we're very focused during that 15 minutes.
Yeah, I was just kind of looking at your site, trying to find where the free goodies are.
Their free goodie, the first free goodie, the easiest and quickest one to find is on the homepage. It's up in the upper right-hand corner. And when you sign up for the Diamond Connection Meditations, and you get two of them. One is the Diamond Connection, and the second one is about your Diamond Radiance. And the Diamond Connection, I have people who email me that tell me they listen to it frequently. And so the site has been updated, so it's a facelift for Diamond Pathway. We have new radiance now. So people ask me not to take it away, and so I just added another one. And if you go underneath audios, looking, you'll see that there are free ones listed there. And for your guests, and I'm glad you asked me now so I won't forget at the end. I have a new audio that I just created in June called The Cosmic Diamond Heart, and here is the URL. It's diamondpathways.com / cosmic - diamond - heart /
Excellent. Thank you for that.
Yes. So there's another, those are three great audios, simple to find, and just gives you a nice sample to see if that's something that resonates with you or not.
So I'm not sure what's involved in the form, you know, for the laser sessions, but how do you work with people where they're kind of like, well, I'm just not seeing things manifest in my life and I'm not sure why? Where, you know, the person isn't really aware of what their blind side is.
Yeah, and isn't it easy, because we all have blind spots. So for me, the easiest way to say is, well, what are you saying? What's happening? I just gather more information, because I find many times once someone starts talking, and if you listen well, and I can hear it from myself too, and I'm not just talking about other people, you can hear what the story is. So if something's not manifesting, what is it that's not manifesting? Is it something general? Is it something specific? Has it had a long history? Has something changed? What are your concerns? I think part of, you know, I've been doing this for a while, and starting in a counseling background, I'm always interested in the background. I'm always interested in the story. In the laser session, I have specific questions. What is the situation? What is it you've been saying? What are your fears? So pretty quickly I can get to, now remember again, I'm asking in that session that you're telling me that you have a situation right now that's going on that you need an immediate resolve with. So, for example, I had a very successful financial planner call me and say that she needed to make a presentation, and for some reason she was feeling anxiety about it. And so through the questioning, we were able to pinpoint why she was having anxiety. And at this moment, I can't, because many times it just comes through me, I can't remember what exactly she talked about. But by the end of the session, she said, I'm completely calm and peaceful. And she emailed me afterwards and said it was one of the best presentations she had ever done.
So people are reporting back that these sessions are shifting aspects of whatever it is that they have identified.
Yes. And if you look on the site, we have success stories. And I would love it when people email me back with success, because a lot of times we go on, and some of it's our society too. We don't always go back and say, thank you for doing that, or my life was different because of it. But I do hear a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'd be interested to see what you think or feel about some people's opinions that bad things happen to people because of karma.
Oh, well, bad things happen because of karma. So what goes around comes around. So are we talking about karma like in past lives, or are we talking about this life? Because I think that might make a difference.
Well, I think, you know, just for the sake of the example, maybe we just call it this lifetime. You know, like,
okay.
I think as an example, let's just say someone comes to you and they say, well, you know, I notice that I'm having a lot of problems with money coming into my life, and I think it's because, you know, I treated some people badly last year or the year before.
I think in that particular situation, and I think maybe even generally, Mark, I would want to look at what my first concern would be, or place to sort of examine might be, if that's the thought process. I do believe in general situations are created for us to become conscious about something. So if that was indeed the case, then we'd want to delve a little bit deeper about why they made those choices in the past, and then work on shifting the energy around that so that that their energy alignment would shift. Because as soon as we transform whatever the thought process is related to that situation, immediately our alignment changes.
Very, very good example. Thank you. You know, you had spoken earlier that, you know, you had started with, you know, working with coaching and in a particular background and everything like that. Have you fully transitioned from what we would call a professional day job into, you know, a spiritually aligned job, or are you still straddling both sides of the fence?
No, I have left my counseling practice. So no, no straddling. And it's funny you should say that, because I really think as we become more authentic and realize our gifts, I remember in counseling so much trying to keep myself, okay, so I'm doing the spiritual piece, but I want to make sure it's scientifically, you know, backed up. And you and I know science is coming around to what we've known spiritually, but that isn't really necessary. I had a gentleman come see me in my counseling practice when I was doing energy work also. I was studying Donna Eden at the time, and he was a VP of a very, very big company. And I saw his wife and children first, and they did great. And the wife was very concerned about her husband. He was very stressed, and he only had the president above him. And I remember one day muscle testing him, because at that time I was still actually physically muscle testing. And he said, you're doing your woo-woo again. Now, Mark, I thought I was hiding my woo-woo in my counseling practice. So, no, I'm no longer trying to pretend. I think that there's a balance of being grounded and centered in who I am, but no, I'm not doing the day job.
So, you know, what did that transition look like?
Oh, it was rough and bumpy for me. I think now people, and I have helped people make much smoother transitions. And if I look back, it was also a time where this was, you know, within the past 5 years, that there was a lot of shifting with the energy, and a lot of us who have been spiritual have been afraid to come out and be who we are. And that was definitely an issue of trying to find where my niche was and exactly how to go about using what I knew and the energy work that I was doing, how to work that into the coaching arena. And things have shifted again. I mean, coaching has changed a lot.
So, you know, what are probably the top two ideas that you give to people who are starting that transition now?
I think first of all is to really feel comfortable and listen to trust yourself. There are people that can jump off and jump into a practice and do really well, and there are other people that just need to take some time, one step at a time. And surround yourself with people who are supportive and understanding, and learn as much as you can about where you're going to be, what it is you want to do. And I know I always start with people with doing a creative contract, where they're writing down the essences of how they want to feel, then the practical steps. Because to me, it all starts in the heart space, and then we follow through the practical steps. So again, it's that balance, Mark. But not to be afraid. I think too many of us have waited a long time, and people sometimes are really afraid. You know, be smart. Look at your options. See what you need financially. Do you need to start slowly? But don't be afraid to start.
Yeah. Now, you know, it seems to be that, you know, if we wanted to kind of coin it or stereotype it, it's like, you know, you can have a person who's like a teacher today, and then tomorrow they want to just basically do angel readings down at the storefront. And I'm not saying that any of that is wrong. But how are we, or how do we identify the fact that maybe in some situations you being a teacher in a classroom is your spiritual work?
Well, that's a very good point. I think that you don't have to be an energy healer or using energy modalities to be a gift to the world. I mean, it's amazing to me. You probably have experienced this, gone into a store and had someone wait on you, and you walk away feeling so good because of their smile or how they've helped you or their kindness. I think that there's a misnomer about having to be in a healing modality to be the gift to the world that you are. And that, I think, is a shame, because I think that then people are really not being, they're not home to themselves, because they don't realize what a gift they are, where they are. And for me, teachers, which is where I started, but teachers are just so important. It's just interesting you brought that up. And when I taught second grade, I remember the kids came back from lunch, and this was in a Florida school with 5 classrooms with no walls, and I knew the kids couldn't get into math right away, so I had them put their heads down, and I actually took them on a visualization, which I don't know if you could do anymore. So maybe if I, you know, had understood some of what gifts I was sharing at that time, that I might have gone on a different path, although I think everything works the way it's supposed to. So I would love for people to really think about what gifts they're offering, where they are. And if that's not completely filling their souls, how can you use your gifts in a way that does without leaving your day job?
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it brings up a good point. I think there's a lot of people out there that are so caught up in the idea of, you know, the grass is greener, so let me go over and do this other thing so it's going to make me happy. And not recognizing the light that they bring in whatever role they're fulfilling in life already.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And I think there's more of a trend these days than there was, let's say, a year or two ago, where I think people are really starting to notice of like, oh, hey, I'm a light worker and I work at, you know, a defense contracting company.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I bring in my energy into the meetings and, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, I really think, you know, I can't say there's any wrong path. I think people really have to figure out what works for them. But, you know, do we really need, you know, 25 million people doing Reiki, you know?
No.
you know, and well, then, or, you know. Then again, if we had 25 million people doing Reiki, it'd probably be a whole different planet, which is where we're pretty much heading anyways with all the great, you know, everybody's transforming and awakening, and I think the planet will shift on its own just with all the beautiful people. And I think, if anything, there really is a call in this day, you know, if we're talking about, you know, spiritual soldiers, is really just that. We need light workers in every job, in every aspect, in every corner of every part of the world, doing whatever they're going to do, bringing love and heart-centered energy into that space. And that's really how the world's going to shift.
Well, I absolutely agree. I think you've come back again sort of to the whole reason I started Diamond Pathways, is that I just feel like we need to be who we are, to really come home and just genuinely be ourselves. Because that's, you know, we've come here on this planet at this time for a reason. Each one of us holds a light. And without that light, the world is not the same. And I love how you're saying that, you know, that we seem to be moving in that direction. And yes, and I love it, because there are people who are not maybe quite as aware, and that's not a judgment. It's just some people just aren't. They're busy with their lives doing things. It isn't their job to be aware. And yet you see how heart-centered they are and how that changes people around them. And we know, as we change and evolve ourselves coming from that place in the heart, so do the people around us change. I mean, I just get excited because I love the energy work and see that the transformation in the system, because it affects our DNA. But you don't have to work with an energy healer or anybody to shift your own DNA as you focus on your heart and look at what's triggering me, what do I want to become more conscious of. And I think there are people across all kinds of jobs that are doing that, maybe not with the heightened awareness we're sharing tonight, but absolutely. So, no, I don't, I mean, what would we do if everybody decided that their gift was transforming energy, you know?
Yeah, right. We're starving to death because nobody's making food anymore, but...
Yeah. It's much more fun to just meet heart-centered souls other places, and I think our kids are getting that. You know, they don't want to be herded, a lot of them, into the same things.
Yeah. I think the message that was given to me by Spirit a while ago, which I think makes so much sense to what we're talking about now, is the idea that, and this was a message that was given to me and I'm sure given to a lot of people, and that is you'll never fully comprehend the impact you're having in the work that you do just in being a person. And it could be smiling at somebody on a street who is suicidal or looking out for somebody and holding a door or showing love and kindness in situations where you see somebody really angry and really have to go to a place of compassion and not making it about you, you know. I think the Four Agreements is good in that kind of discussion where it says, you know, you really never know what's going on with somebody else. And I find in situations where people are very extreme, especially if they're showing anger towards you, that they're very much hurting. And in those situations, it's not about defending yourself. It's really about just showing love and compassion to that person in that time of need. So it just, just a really important message for everybody is never underestimate the change that you are doing on this planet and the impact that you're actually having.
Well, I so agree. It's just really about being yourself. And when we are ourselves and not taking it personally, as you said, we can be ourselves and open our hearts. And I know we talked a little bit in the beginning, maybe before the show started, about the children's book I wrote. And that's part of the reason that I wrote it, because I think that if our children start to know that they sparkle in their own unique way, and everybody sparkles. You know, a long time ago we said, let's give kids self-esteem, and the problem was we entitled children, and what I think many of our newer children being born now know is that they are special, but so is their friend. Our new children are coming in with so many gifts, and I'm hoping that these are the children that are going to change the world. And I really wanted parents to be able to have a tool to work with their children, because a lot of the children coming in are very sensitive to a lot what we're talking about. I can look at my little granddaughter, and I know that she would see somebody struggling and immediately sense it, but yet not. She would be very kind and loving, but maybe not know how to handle that later on. So I wrote a little book when she went to preschool called Angel Violet's Magic Wings. And the URL is angelviolet'smagicwings.com. And it's actually, I call it a storybook tool, Mark, because it's for children from 4 to 6 plus, can go up to 8 depending on if children are sensitive or ADHD or just really in touch, you know, seem to be very sensitive with emotions. And it has parent notes on one side, and the other side is just a little story that talks about how our sparkles get dusty just by living each day, or how feelings can be contagious. And Angel Violet comes and she flies around and uses her magic wings to dust off the sparkles so children can sparkle again. So it gives parents many avenues to talk to children about feelings and a lot of what we talked about tonight, actually, being themselves and being able to understand why other children might be unkind or why a teacher might have a bad day. And one of the parent notes even says, you know, everybody sparkles differently, even your dog or cat. So it's sort of a fun way to talk to children about feelings and becoming more aware that everybody has their own gifts. And, of course, loving authentic happiness and positive psychology, which talks a lot about strengths versus signature strengths, which are values and attributes versus talents. and talents, you know, you're good at math, but like one of mine is spirituality. Who figured that a long time ago that that would be a gift or a talent, and not a talent, but a gift for me? So I really wanted children and parents to be able to talk about that and have language around it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's beautiful. You know, I was kind of getting some messages and everything as you were talking. And are you going to write a book that kind of covers the 8 to 16 range for the teenagers in transition?
I don't know yet. I will tell you, I am writing another book. It is about children's connection with God.
That's
but I don't know about the transition. I was actually told by someone on my birthday that I would be writing a series of books, so you might be right, Mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's really beautiful. And I did kind of Google that while you were talking and found it out on Amazon, which is my favorite place to find everything.
Yes.
So really excited to see that. I wasn't sure, because I looked on your website, I didn't see anything, but do you have any workshops or retreats or anything coming up this year?
I do, and it's not up there yet. We're just in the throes of discussing it, but Julie Umpley from Diamond Light World in England and I are going to be doing a workshop in Orlando, I believe in late September or early October. It will be the first of the two of us with our diamond technology getting together. So it should be exciting. So I would love for you to check back if you sign up for the Diamond Connection meditation and would like to get emails from us, then you will get some information about it. It should be fun. It's interesting because Julie sees much more specifically the sacred geometry than I do. So it'll be a lot of fun for the two of us to get together. And she's an amazing person. I cannot wait to meet her.
Very cool. And I know earlier you had promoted your friend who does Akashic Records readings. It's always amazing to find a good resource like that. Can you go ahead and give out her website again?
Oh, yes. And she's running a special right now, I think, till the end of the week. And it's trustyourlife.com. So it's TRUSTYOURLIFE.com, trustyourlife.com, and it's Max Wellspring. She's really quite phenomenal, and I've had several readers, and she's a longtime friend and colleague, but I love how she does the Akashic Record openings.
And I know earlier you had a freebie for everybody. Could you give out that link again? I think it was Diamond.
Yep, it's diamondpathways.com. diamond-cosmic-heart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I told you wrong. It's diamondpathways.com, cosmic-diamond-heart. So it's cosmic diamond heart with dashes in between them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I would love for people to visit my Facebook page, and it's Diamond Pathways and Angel Violet's Magic Wings. And next week, we're doing a soft launch for Angel Violet's Magic Wings. We are launching sparklelightbooks.com, and the site is not up yet. We're launching it next Monday. So look at facebook.com/AngelVioletsMagicWings, and we have a contest, and we're going to be giving away some goodies during the soft launch if you purchase books that we're not going to do when we actually do the big launch in September. So we're really excited. We're not sharing with everyone, but I'm happy to share with your listeners.
Oh, that's great. And that's Diamond Pathways on Facebook.
Diamond Pathways on Facebook and Angel Violet's Magic Wings. I'm so lucky I have three Facebook pages. So Diamond Pathways has its own and Angel Violet has its own.
Oh, that's great. So there was something I was going to... Oh, yeah. So you have some meditations that are available up on your site. How do the meditations work? Do they basically have the diamond frequency embedded in them?
Yes, they absolutely do. And in fact, the process that I originally did the first time that I saw the diamond is the process in the one carat. And the one carat actually takes you through. We all have that energetic body, and it's really easy to move into it. But to really activate it is clearing something, a pattern that we've had since childhood. So I take you through, I give you, there's notes on how to do it, and then the audio talks you through how to do it, and then we actually do it by audio. So I can either do that live, or you can do that through the audios.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the smaller audios, which also have that frequency embedded in it, are much shorter. And sometimes people purchase those because they're, you know, feeling overwhelmed, or they're angry, or they want to connect more deeply to their heart. So yes, everything I do now, even if it, right now I'm looking at the Gene Keys by Richard Rudd. And so however I play with those, it'll be through the diamond frequency. Because tapping into that raises that vibration. And it's a part of who I am and what I do and how I live. And it's really marked to me an extension. It's my contribution to the world. It's my sharing. So if I'm tapping into it, I want everyone else to be able to, you know, have the choice to do that too.
Oh, that's beautiful. As always, we like to finish off the show with talking about your life lesson. In a minute or so, what is basically the biggest life lesson you've learned so far?
Not to hide my light under a box.
Oh, that's beautiful. All right. Well, thank you for being on the show, Bonnie. It's been great having you. We'll be looking forward to hearing more about your retreat, which is going to be in September in Orlando this year. And people can find out more about you by going to diamondpathways.com. And with that, I will say good night and thanks, Bonnie.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Have a great night. All right, everybody, you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and you can find out more about the show by going to www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Tune in every month for our shows and go to our website to find out about our other shows. As an example, this Tuesday, which is tomorrow at the same time, we have the Saint Germain Radio Show with me, Brigida, and Mike. And, of course, Brigida will be channeling probably the Ascended Master Saint Germain. And the only opportunity on this planet that I'm aware of where you can actually phone in and ask an Ascended Master a question about something in your life. And you get to experience the great lectures, the energy. I do the Diksha blessing during the beginning of the show, and Mike actually channels music that he plays. And you can tune in for all those great things for free on the same channel as you're listening to now, tomorrow, which is the Saint Germain Radio Show. All right, good night, everybody, and thanks for listening to Spiritual Connections Radio.